Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today we are looking into the Medicaid expansion and managed care, House Bill 1591. What are the key issues to address as this debate moves forward? We have the ARC of Indiana Executive Director, John Dickerson, here with us today to tell us about it. Hi, John.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
This is a major issue. A lot of people with disabilities have Medicaid, and we're talking about Medicaid expansion. So what does that involve?
Well, it's really two parts to this bill, which have now also been incorporated into the budget document itself for the state of Indiana. One is the expansion of Medicaid itself to follow the federal guidelines of where there have been some real incentives put out to make more Hoosiers who are without insurance right now working poor eligible for Medicaid. The second part of the bill is what's referred to as a managed care alternative for people who are aged, blind, or disabled who depend on Medicaid both for their acute care and long-term care needs. So it's a very important piece of legislation for people to pay attention to.
And, you know, with Medicaid, it's extensive, like you said, but looking at it on paper is so much easier than trying to wrap your head around it. So what are we talking about here?
Well, in Medicaid expansion, we're moving to expand the Medicaid eligible population of people that earn up to 135% of the federal poverty level. That's a big change for Indiana because we have a very low income eligibility standard in Indiana. Mm-hmm. The good news is the federal government will pay 100% of the cost of this expansion for the first 2 years, and then it declines gradually over the next several years to where it's a 90-10 share. Mm-hmm. 90% paid by the federal government, 10% paid by Indiana. And so Indiana policymakers are saying, can we afford that 10%? Mm-hmm. Might sound like a really good deal. You get $90 for every 10 you put in. Mm-hmm. But they want to make sure we have enough money to do that. But it has a number of side effects. One of them is economic, mm-hmm. that this will bring in nearly $1 billion, billion with a B, of new revenue every year to be spent in Indiana. This is Hoosier taxpayers' dollars that will be spent back in here to provide better health care and outcomes for folks. Mm-hmm. Many of the folks that will be eligible under this are working. Right. They work multiple part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. None of them provide health insurance.
Right.
If it's offered, they can't afford it.
Right.
So this is a huge step forward in creating a healthier Indiana. The second part of it is for people with disabilities that they can now earn more money themselves and become eligible for Medicaid and not lose their benefits in a very straightforward, simple way.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about how then managed care is talked about in this bill.
Well, it's a key part because we looked at Medicaid and expansion, and there's a whole section of things that are really important to that for people with disabilities as well. For example, under Medicaid expansion, doctors will get paid Medicare rates instead of Medicaid rates. Mm-hmm. So many of our folks have trouble getting to a doctor on Medicaid.
Right.
That's going to be better. But then there's this question about how do we manage the care that people receive? Many times we hear complaints from primarily adults with disabilities who are in various different supported living programs or in a group home that there isn't a real coordinated approach to their health care.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, we have many of our self-advocates when I meet with them that have never been tested for diabetes.
Mm.
And we know diabetes is rampant in our society, and some say it's at an epidemic level. But if we're, for example, in our testimony, I referenced a fellow that was being treated for a behavior disorder from mood swings. Turns out he had diabetes. It was mm-hmm. all related to blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're treating the wrong things instead of treating the right things.
Mm-hmm.
So the managed care approach is how do we get a full complement of care to people that coordinates in a way that makes for the better and most healthy outcomes. Something I learned that was shocking to me. We had a self-advocate, and this is obviously something that you may have experienced or thought about, that this woman could not get a mammogram. She was 56 years old, could not get a mammogram because in her part of southern Indiana, there's not a mammogram machine for a woman that uses a wheelchair. You have to be able to stand up. She can't stand up. There are breast centers that will have that kind of equipment, mm-hmm. but you need to know where to go.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until it was presented with her, she was in the final stages where the tumor grew through her skin, Mm-mm. that anybody even knew that she had breast cancer.
Oh my goodness.
So how do we address coordinated care? Now, this bill laid out some very aggressive timetables to move into managed care for people that are in this group called the aged, blind, and disabled. And this is a subpopulation of the Medicaid group that is much smaller than the low-income population, mm-hmm. but uses a lot more money. For example, a person on one of our waivers may get the waiver at 20 years old, and they're on Medicaid for the next 40 years, 50 mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we manage that care? How do we manage their acute care needs as well as their long-term care needs? We think it's an area we have to look at and we should be working on. One of our concerns is this bill has some very tight time frames.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in the country has done this successfully statewide the way we're attempting to do it,
mm-hmm.
much less in the time frame we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that as the bill moves forward, we'll keep working with folks to define both the time frames. How do we build the contract with whoever is the managed care organization
mm-hmm.
so that it reflects the needs of individuals and a really thoughtful approach to coordinated health care and how we address long-term care. All are critical questions.
As far as managed care, do you train staff? You know, you have a wide range of people with disabilities with differing health needs. Do you train each staff member in the managed care system to deal with these things?
Really good question. They've tried various different approaches in the past where we've had managed care through Care Select in Indiana, where
mm-hmm.
we had supposedly three companies that people could choose from that had training and expertise. And there's been mixed results. Some people feeling it did well, some feeling it did really, really poorly.
Mm-hmm.
We were still saddled with low rates paid to providers, and so folks had difficulty finding specialists or finding people that met their needs. In Iowa, they studied this for 12 years, and what they found is they created what they call these Live Well coaches,
mm-hmm.
that they had very small caseloads, and they were responsible to do whatever it took to make the person healthier, more successful. And so if they knew them well, they would go to the doctor with them and explain what was going on.
Okay.
If there was a side effect from a medicine.
That makes perfect sense.
Right. And they were spending about $600 a month per person for this LiveWell coach. It more than saved its spending with savings over on the other side, because we were spending less on staffing and supporting the person and on healthcare. And interestingly enough, they even tracked incarceration so that
wow.
you looked at how do you do this? And we're fortunate that we have a former person that helped build this program in Iowa now working in Indiana for the Easter Seals Arc of Northeast Indiana.
That's great.
And we've learned a lot of how they were able to demonstrate with 12 years worth of data,
mm-hmm.
that you can manage care, save money, but it needs to be done as close to the person as possible with people that know them. With our populations, I don't think we've ever addressed the unique differences that we have mm-hmm. and everything from accessibility to mm-hmm. the doctor's office
mm-hmm.
to how much time they get to spend with them. It's interesting that many of the debates, insurance companies now dictate to doctors how much time they can have with their patients as opposed to what the doctor would like to do. And it's
sure.
at their own risk. Do mm-hmm. they violate those rules?
Sure.
My own doctor, his practice, they have one doctor that's really specialized in autism. And they're subsidizing her because she needs 30 minutes a visit to really get
sure.
to the heart of what's going on with
sure.
them, as opposed to the person that can easily express themselves.
Mm.
So it's a real mixed bag as we look at this. We've got to get back to looking at preventive health care for everyone and wellness. That for everybody, there are steps that we can take to begin looking at that. And we haven't always addressed it that way. So we think that managed care can work. We think it needs to be regional. It needs to be with people that know the folks in the population and that understand these subpopulations well. The difference between people who are over 80 mm-hmm. and a person with a physical disability may seem very similar to some folks, but they're vastly different.
Right.
And what we're looking at and their needs are very different. And so we've got to make sure we address this correctly. We've got to find some new answers. What we hope is that they take enough time to not rush into it that we can do it right. We have some very smart people working on it. We have some legislators, Representative Ed Clear, who's chairman of the Health Committee, Representative Tim Brown, chair of the Ways and Means Committee, that are looking at this very carefully. These are really, really sharp people. And so we want to work with them with what comes out of the House. Senator Pat Miller has a bill in the Senate side. So it's clearly something we're looking at as a state. And part of the ARC's role is to try to be at the table, say, here are things we have to think about together.
Sure.
And engage beneficiaries, Medicaid term. We need to have beneficiaries and their families at the table talking about these things.
It's their life.
It's their life. And for too often, it's been the healthcare insurer or Medicaid just making the decisions.
Yeah.
And we need to engage people in how do you have a healthy lifestyle? How do you take care of yourself? How do you have your own responsibility in your healthcare? Yeah. And those are all good things. But we have to make sure that the system is designed to support people.
So in your review of the bill, what is the goal? What does the future look like for Medicaid expansion to you?
Well, I think Medicaid expansion is just a very important and necessary step for Indiana to take care of Hoosiers and to protect our economy. When I say protect our economy, if three states around us, if we don't take advantage of the Medicaid expansion, the money, our Hoosier tax dollars that go into that will go to other states. I want to see that economic growth here. One little subset in our testimony is I talked about Project Search and St. Vincent's Carmel, where 75% of the high school students, all of them students with disabilities, that went through Project Search at St. Vincent's Carmel, where they learned a job while going to school, 75% of them have gone to work in the healthcare industry at $10 an hour or better in the jobs that they learned through that program. So if we want to address 80% unemployment with people with disabilities, and we see healthcare as a growing field, we need to make sure people with disabilities are seen as a ready and willing workforce to move into that area. And by healthcare, it's everything from health records, data entry, to direct care of individuals in the healthcare system. Secondly, is we need to look at the whole managed care option and figure out how do we address this. And it starts, I think, by engaging families. Just as we talked about in the blueprint, that long-term care, for example, is an investment in your son or daughter's future. And where do you want them to live? How do you build a life for them? And if there are resources that you're able to bring to the table through a Medicaid waiver, for example, how do you use that wisely and responsibly for where the future for your son or daughter is going to go?
I am so happy that we have looked into these issues. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you. And I would urge people to go to our website to keep up with all of the legislative actions. Every week we'll be sharing with people what happens in the legislature, and you can get a free email and find out what's happening and how it'll affect you. But the ARC's job, as somebody once said to me recently, was, you know, we bring those issues to a point, whether it's the issue of seclusion or restraint in schools, whether it's healthcare, or whether it's about access to parking. Each one that we work on is brought to us by people that have gone through our process of saying, where's a priority? Where do we have to work on it? Some are brought to us by legislators. And so what we try to do is turn those critical interests into action. And we need people out there talking to their legislators, sharing them what they think. It's what they hear from you at home in Lafayette, Evansville, Fort Wayne, all across the state.
Well, I have to say that I am so happy to work for an organization that does so much for people with disabilities. Sean Dickerson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
For more information on the Medicaid expansion, on the key issues to address as this debate moves forward, or to sign up for the Arc of Indiana's e-newsletter, go to their website, www.arcind.org. And for those legislative updates on the Medicaid expansion and to keep updated on all of these issues, I want to thank you for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.